Interval 7. The Fall. The Warp Now. The foulness of the warp plague was everywhere Mortarion looked. He caught glimpses of the disease-ridden as he walked the shadowed corridors of the Terminus Est. Through the portal, in a sealed hatch, he saw dead servitors collapsed before hundreds of human corpses stacked like cordwood. The Helot crew consumed by the chimeric virus, and the organic parts of the machine slaves killed in the same fashion. But worse still were the warriors of his legion, who, rather than meet his gaze, shied away from their Primarch's approach in shame at their infection. It was as if the infernal contagion could be transmitted at the speed of thought, and no barrier nor counter-agent could halt it. Mortarion flexed his left hand, ironclad once more in his battle gauntlet, and chewed on the grim revelation of the triad blisters that had appeared on his own skin. If this unreal disease could take purchase in his body, if it could get its microscopic claws into the raging furnace of a demigod's physiology, then what hope could his sons have to defeat it? Mortarion's sense of self had always been strong, and if he reached inside, he could feel the battle being fought in his bloodstream. It sickened him to admit he too was tainted. The Reaper of Men threw a sideways glance at the nearest of his faceless death-shroud warriors. Forever hidden behind the skull aspect of their battle masks, no part of their physical form was visible, and there was no way to know if any of them had been touched by this insidious destroyer. But Mortarion knew. His eye was keen, and he could see the signs. A single dragged footstep, a momentary lag in motion. Like all the Death Guard, his Praetorians would perish in fire and fury before they failed him. To openly show their master any faltering of strength would be a betrayal. The closer they came to the warship's Sanctorum, the more loathsome things became. Here, the sickness seemed to be growing not just to pollute flesh, but to contaminate the structure of the Terminus Est herself. The venerable battleship was centuries old, but it had never been decayed or decrepit. Now Mortarion saw patches of crawling rust moving over walls that days earlier had been bright spreads of polished plasteel. A droning susurrus filled the air as clouds of tiny flies blackened the illumination of the ship's lumoglobes. They writhed in smoke-like knots, beyond reach and endlessly in motion. Colonies of the things clustered around stoic Death Guard sentinels in fully sealed armour, clogging the vents of their helms. Down branching corridors that were shadowed and dim, the Primarch saw those among his sons who were less fortunate. Here and there, Medicae and Legion apothecaries toiled over the forms of warriors who sat slumped against the walls. One of them turned to look in his direction, and he saw eyes turned a sour yellow by blindness. A pale face, raw with weeping sores.
Is this tragedy being repeated on every ship in my fleet?
He believed it so, and Mortarion's thoughts strayed to Raheb Zuriak, and of the merciful release that the disease had refused to grant him.
This is the fate that awaits us, if we cannot escape the madness of this realm.
Mortarion's tortured imaginings envisioned the alternative. A timeless nowhere of unrelenting pain and agony. Throughout history, ships had gone missing in the warp, lost and consigned to cruel destiny. Was this what happened to them? It was not a fate that he would wish on his greatest enemy. The nothingness and the horrible inertia of it was worse than any death.
Give me a foe to fight, or a target to attack, and I will turn the fate of worlds, Mortarion had once said to his father. There is no battle that the Death Guard fear.
But those words were lies. He knew fear, true and real. Here was a battle against a foe they could not see, could not grasp, and could not put to the sword. This was a fight that turned the pale suns against themselves.
Unwinnable. Unless...
Reaching the great doorway to the Navigator's Sanctorum, Mortarion unlimbered silence and let the massive scythe swing to the ready.
Heed me, he told the Seven Death Shroud. First Captain Typhon will do as he is ordered. or he will be put down. No hesitation in this."
The warriors did not speak, but as one they saluted with a mailed fist against their chest plates. Mortarion wrenched open the hatch with one arm and marched inside, setting his jaw as a stale exhalation of corrupted air and degeneration washed over him. He tasted the peculiar sweetness of corpse flesh and the rough soil of death. It was unaccountably familiar to him. It was the air of old Barbarus, captured and recreated in this sealed sphere.
"Typhon!"
he shouted, his voice rebounding off the blackened, crumbling interior. Like the rest of the ship, the Sanctorum chamber was rotting from the inside out.
"This ends here. Take us back, or defy me and die." "Don't you see the truth, Reaper?"
Typhon's words rumbled back at him from somewhere in the gloom.
"We cannot die in this place. Here, we are as eternal and enduring as we were always meant to be."
A piece of the shadows detached and moved towards him.
"It took me a while to come to the understanding myself, but I have it now. I think perhaps I always did. I just needed to find the way."
Typhon emerged into a shaft of sickly light, and he resembled a phantom version of his former self, pallid and deathly white, far more than even the common pallor of a Barbaran. He was akin to a corpse. His beard was matted and greasy, his eyes alive with malice, but sunken into dark hollows. The first captain's battleplate was filthy with blood and muck, as if he had crawled through the sewers of a slaughterhouse.
"What have you done?" breathed Mortarion. "If there is any of the comradeship still in you that we once shared, tell me why you have trapped us here." "I regret I had to lie to you," Typhon admitted. "But it is better this way. The navigators were plotting, that was true. But not as I led you to believe. Killing them ended a threat before it was fully formed, and allowed me to bring you here, to see the grandfather's bounty firsthand."
That name again. Mortarion stiffened.
"You have made a pact with something inhuman. So have you."
Typhon showed yellowed teeth in a feral smile.
"I know you have been courting the knowledge that your father forbade."
He waved a hand.
"The whispers in the dusk. They talk to one another, did you not know? You are walking the same path as I, only I am far ahead of you."
The warrior chuckled.
"But in fairness, I was set on that road from the day I took my first breath. Born to it, you might say."
Typhon had never made a secret of his origins. The bastard child was marked by the blood of his progenitor, just as Mortarion was marked by his. That darkness had always been made to serve the Death Guard Legion, or so his commander had always believed. Here and now, the light of events put the lie to that. Perhaps the reality was that Typhon had always been leading them towards this point, to the door beyond which lay the demonic forces that Mortarion had glimpsed.
"What happened to you out there when you left my side?" he asked. "What changed?" "I awoke," said Typhon,
briefly losing himself in a memory.
"On a world called Zaramund, at the touch of an old woman's hand."
Then he nodded.
"You will too, this day. It is time for the Death Guard to accept the mark." "No."
The tone of his old friend's words stoked Mortarion's cold anger into a seething, icy inferno.
"Return us to real space. Do it now." "I won't,"
came the reply.
"Not in this life."
And that was answer enough. With a snarl, Mortarion exploded into motion and drew the lantern, laying a column of searing white fire over the other warrior. Typhon shrieked, but as the beam faded, he was still standing. Ash crisped and crumbled the upper layers of his skin and scorched his armour, but the beam gun's effect was attenuated by some invisible means. Without hesitation, Mortarion shifted tactics and brought up silence in a singing arc of steel, slashing the blade through the stale air. Typhon skidded away across the Ichor slick decking and narrowly avoided a strike that would have cut off his arm. He gave no obvious command, but without warning, a dozen other hazy forms burst from the shadows of the chamber and set forth to attack the Death Shroud. They were members of the First Captain's specialist detail, the fighters he called his Grave Wardens, and not one of them moved to engage their Primarch. That duel, it seemed, was only for Mortarion and his old friend. Eldritch fire sprayed and plasteel tore as the two groups of bodyguards clashed, and between them the Primarch and his captain stalked each other, trading testing blows that quickly escalated in tempo and lethality. Despite the years they had known one another, Mortarion and Typhon had never fought, not even in the sparring pits. It always seemed like a test that did not need to be proven, a question never answered. But as the clash unfolded, Mortarion found a single, unpalatable truth rising to the surface of his thoughts.
I do not know this man at all.
Their blades sparked off one another, as Typhon attempted to get inside his Primarch's reach and knock him back. It was a bold tactic, and from any other, Mortarion would have thought it a futile one. But Typhon knew him as no man did. The two of them had battled alongside each other across the bleak ranges of Barbaros in years of pitiless war, learning as they went, taming a world along the way. And then, in the missions of the Great Crusade, the First Captain had always been there. His strong right arm, his confidant and trusted comrade. Their weapons locked, and the two of them struggled to a standstill. Despite his sickly appearance, Typhon appeared to draw upon a reserve of strength and stamina beyond that of an ordinary legionary. Mortarion met his gaze and saw a stranger behind those familiar eyes. Everything he believed he knew about Typhon crumbled in that moment. The same changes that had consumed Grulgor were at work here, he realized. The man who was truly Kallas Typhon, who had been a scared half-breed youth, a reckless rebel, then a trusted commander in his army of liberation, no longer existed. The Reaper of Men let the last iota of brotherhood between them gutter out and fade like a dying candle, and hardened his spirit.
"If you are what keeps us here," he hissed, "then that binding will be severed."
With a mighty surge of effort, Mortarion slammed silence into Typhon's weapon and broke it in two, the bifurcated pieces spinning away. The First Captain staggered backward, but the Primarch pressed the attack, leaning into the momentum. Inexorable, unstoppable, the crescent blade of the Great War Scythe tore into Typhon's chest armour and threw it in a scream of ruptured ceramite. The curve of the razor edge dug inward and upward through the meat of his body, the yawning passage of its cut finding both of his hearts and slicing them open. Black blood gushed in a torrent from the fatal gaping wound, and Typhon sagged lifelessly, supported on the end of the blade like a hooked fish.
"Forgive me, old friend."
The thought gathered in Mortarion's mind, about to be spoken aloud. But then Typhon's head snapped up, and his jaundiced eyes glared back at the Primarch, lit with a baleful fire.
"Did you think it would be that easy?"
Noxious yellow froth drooled from his mouth as he spoke, pitting the floor and sizzling where it landed.
"I told you, we cannot die here. You cannot kill me, old friend."
Typhon's arm blurred, coming at him with impossible speed. Mortarion shifted to block the attack, a dagger diving at his neck, and managed only to deflect it. The metal knife found a gap in the spaces between his armour plates and cut through the heavy undersuit beneath as if it were nothing. The Reaper felt the tip of the blade bite into his flesh, and the pain of it was incredible. Shocked by the force of it, he staggered back, losing his grip on silence, reaching up to wrench the dagger from where it lay. He pulled at the weapon, riding waves of agony as it slowly drew out of his body. He knew this knife. The dagger was a piece of old brass, a makeshift thing that once had been lost and forgotten in the blood-soaked mud of Barbaros. It sizzled in his grip, oozing plague matter corruption from within, corroding the metal palm of his gauntlet. He discarded it, looking back to see Typhon reach down and pull silence from his belly.
"I have something that belongs to you," said the First Captain,
and he threw the war scythe back. Mortarion caught it, disgust twisting his face as he watched loops of distended intestine and cankered organs hang loosely from the cut it had made in the other warrior.
"The mortal cannot end the immortal," Typhon went on. "And you will forever be the lesser if you do not embrace rebirth."
He pointed at Mortarion's hand, where the triad of livid boils had appeared. A fierce jag of pain lanced through the Reaper's arm, searing his nerves.
"It will take more than you to kill me,"
he added, baring his teeth. Mortarion straightened.
"Yes, I suspected that might be so."
This was the moment, then. He had only one more card left to play.
"It is clear to me now. To destroy the thing that you are becoming requires a weapon of singular origin."
He reached for the bandolier across his chest and recovered a slim metal rod attached there, depressing a button at one end before hurling the thing at Typhon. It landed at the first captain's feet, emitting a high-pitched whine. But it was no explosive device.
"A beacon?"
As Typhon said the words, a concussion, made of emerald light and twisted energy, blossomed between the two warriors, dragging a huge and corpulent form into the chamber through a portal of matter transfer. The Eater of Life materialized in the Sanctorum with a thunderous crash of displaced air, the fractured links of the chains that had bound it tinkling as they fell to the deck. It tipped back its foul head as it took in its new surroundings, and then roared with laughter.
"Grulgor," sneered Typhon. "Well met, brother."
"Not quite,"
gurgled the creature, eyeing him up and down.
"Demon,"
Mortarion called.
"You begged to kill for me, so I give you freedom to do so. You are oath-sworn to my command, and it is this. Destroy Typhon."
"Is that what you wish?"
The Eater's giant podgy arm shot out with uncanny speed and clasped the first captain before he could draw back, shaking him violently. Mutated talon fingers clasped around Typhon's throat and began to contract. Mortarion watched, grim-faced, as the demon spawn strangled his comrade, ignoring every blow that Typhon rained down upon it. Finally, Typhon began to choke and splutter, as oily matter spurted from his gagging mouth and the monstrous tear in his body.
"I fulfill my oath,"
snarled the creature, leering into the face of his victim. Then the timbre and cadence of Typhon's dying exhalations changed. The death rattle shifted, becoming a hate-filled, spiteful sound. The first captain was laughing, and the Grulgor thing joined in with him. The claws released, and Typhon staggered back, spitting out broken stumps of teeth and gobs of black mucus. Mortarion started forward.
"Another betrayal." His thoughts roared against the prospect. "Impossible."
The Eater of Life bowed to the Primarch, giggling obscenely as it spoke to him.
"I regret to tell you, Lord Mortarion, my oath to the Plague God, the King of Decay, and the Regent Most Vile, comes before any pact I make with mortals. Nurgle's rotting reign holds sway over all. Do you see?"
Mortarion tried to utter the name the demon spoke, but it turned to bile in his mouth, and he was forced to swallow the demand he wanted to make. Nurgle. The word had appeared here and there in the unhallowed texts he had discovered, and each time it was the icon of the greatest degeneration, the foulest corruption. The Eater shifted its great bulk to face Typhon.
"What of you? Are you ready to take the final step? To submit to the embrace?"
"Yes,"
grated the first captain, giving Mortarion a savage sneer.
"Make the sacrifice."
"Callous Typhon dies today," said the creature.
And it spread its arms wide, tipping back its neck to expose the wide, pestilent mass of its goiter-bloated throat. The pallid flesh throbbed and moved, as if something trapped beneath it was trying to get out. Mortarion broke into a sprint, swinging Silence high as he stormed in to stop whatever would come next. But Typhon threw a wall of invisible force towards him, and the air thickened to slurry, each step taking the effort of 100 men. Typhon dived at the demon's throat and tore it open with his bare hands, ripping it away as if he was skinning an animal kill. Through the gash he made came a detonation of black screaming motes, a hurricane swarm of shining flies that blasted outward and engulfed the first captain, hitting him with enough force to knock him off his feet. Acting on instinct, Mortarion slammed Silence into the deck and used it to hook himself there as the howling gale of insects swept over and around him. He felt thousands of tiny razor-sharp mandibles biting into every inch of his exposed skin and the burn of acidic venom in his blood. Turning his face away, the Primarch glimpsed coiled clouds of the swarm breaking apart and diving upon the survivors of his death shroud and Typhon's grave wardens, attacking both sides alike. The flies feasted on them, eating in through the soft tissues of their bodies and the jelly of their eyes. Even those sealed tight inside their battle plate could not escape, as the warp-tainted insects seemed to be able to pass through the tiniest of apertures in search of meat to chew upon. Then, like the outrush of a retreating tide, the screaming swarm left the desiccated bodies of the fallen behind and imploded back towards the centre of the chamber. At the eye of this pestilent storm stood Mortarion and his former brother in battle. Whatever animating essence had been Ignatius Grulgor boiled out of the demon flesh as it died. The flies ignored the dissolving putrid mass that had been the Eater of Lives, content to let the demon discorporate and crumble. Instead, they whirled around Typhon in a stream of dark blurs before suddenly diving into him. The swarm bored up through the great wound Mortarion's scythe had left in the first captain, and they plunged down his open mouth. He welcomed them, taking everything they gave. Aghast, Mortarion could do nothing as Typhon's body twitched, writhed, and distended to accommodate the transformation eating him from the inside out. His back swelled amid the crackle of fracturing bone and ceramite, and dense flutes of fissured horn burst out, each one spitting clouds of flies as smoke would belch from a chimney. He shuddered, sloughing off lumps of dead grey flesh to reveal the new bloom of rotting muscle beneath. Where his battle armour ended and the putrid meat of him began was impossible to see. Finally, with a repellent crunch of breaking cartilage, the nub of a twisted horn grew from the first captain's swollen face. He glanced up, wheezing and shuddering, and with each indrawn breath and exhalation, Mortarion could hear the droning of the flies inside him. He had become a hive for the things, a living nest for the destroyer plague.
"Kallus," Mortarion whispered in the deathly silence that followed. "What have you done?"
"Know my name,"
came the seething reply.
"I am the herald of what shall be, Mortarion."
He drew himself up, flexing his arms and testing the play in his mutated new form.
"I am Typhus."
The utterance seemed to resonate through the air and strike something deep in Mortarion's spirit. There was a dark and bottomless pit of sorrow in the soul of the Reaper of Men, a hole in his being that had been in him from the day he first opened his eyes, among the bloody carnage of a spent battle across Barbarous's foothills. He had ignored it, buried it, denied its existence, and for a while, when he had found purpose in the creation of his Death Guard and again in the Great Crusade, the pit had scabbed over. But it had never left him, and the act of witnessing the other warrior's change ripped away all pretense at concealing it. The yawning void of his greatest despair hollowed him out as he saw the truth. His legion was going to fall to this ruin and decay, and nothing he could do would stop it.
"This is always how it was going to end," said Typhus,
his words the wind from a sepulchre.
"The fate you refuse to accept
ghosted with you at every step. The questions in your mind, laid there when we were just foolish youths and fearless rebels, planted like seeds to bloom into doubt.
He flexed his skeletal hands, offering one in a macabre parody of friendship.
Your dalliances with demonology, your chaining of the life-eater.
He nodded at the frothing pool of feculent slime that was all that now remained of the creature.
All preordained by the eye of the Grandfather to bring us to this moment and remake me, to remake all of us. You led me here.
The grief and misery of the Primarch's own admission burned worse than any venom, cut deeper than any blade.
Yes,
said Typhus.
But the last step must be yours. Submit, Mortarion. Surrender, or you will doom the Death Guard to an eternity of weakness and suffering.
The planet Barbarous, before. Each step took more out of him than the last. But still Mortarion pressed on, climbing over the chem-slicked slate of the high crags. Every breath was a labour, taking in a lungful of toxic air and squeezing the last fractions of breathable elements from it. The primitive air tank on his back had run dry hours earlier, and he had sloughed off the kit, leaving it on the blasted hillside where a fresh salvo of fireballs had tried and failed to destroy him. With his war scythe at his side, Mortarion continued his advance, pulling himself up step by brutal step, ever closer to the dark, menacing towers of the final citadel. The outer plates of his armour were already corroding, as the acid haze around him burned through the sheen of the metal and weakened its structure. Cured leather straps dissolved, and he felt a section of his vambrace detach and fall into the poisonous mud. Mortarion ignored it and walked on. His thoughts contracted to a single point, to the act of putting one foot in front of the other. Mortarion did not allow his mind to embrace any other notion. Anything else would sap his will. He held on to the old, familiar rage that he had known since his childhood. He dug deep to find every last fraction of the hate he held for the one who tormented him. And there was something else, too. The impulse to prove himself in a final confrontation. The inevitability of it was becoming manifest. Today would be the end. After years of fighting, the war for Barbarous would conclude on this forsaken mountain peak with a single death. It would be his enemy, or it would be him. The Reaper of Men's fingers tightened around the haft of his weapon as he struggled for breath. In the secret places of his soul, places Mortarion allowed no others to know of, this act was enshrined as his greatest desire. But in truth, there were other needs he hid away, and in the silence of the thick fog, they threatened to emerge. The stranger in the lodge hall. The newcomer. There was a familiarity about the bronze-skinned man that he could not escape. Mortarion did not know how, but he instinctively felt he knew him. He was unwilling to explore that emotion, in dread of what he might find if he looked too deeply upon it. Mortarion's origins were an enigma, and if this stranger was somehow connected to him, the possibility of learning the facts behind his greatest mystery could be within his grasp.
But what good would that knowledge serve?
The question whispered to him.
How would that make me a better man?
He glanced up again at the citadel.
How can it help me in this fight, here and now?
Mortarion shook off the traitorous thoughts, silencing them. Who he was and where he had come from was unimportant. What mattered in this moment were his deeds, not his past. He was close now. The shadow cast by the last stronghold of the overlords loomed large above him, glimpsed in pieces through the veil of the venomous clouds. He could sense his foster father up there on the battlements, glaring down at him as he approached.
One last test, he told himself, and then this will be over."
The ground at his feet levelled out, but he found himself at the foot of towering gates, forged from black iron, set in a tower that vanished into the orange-black mist. His body trembled from the ill effects of the murderous toxins in the air, but still he managed to take a deep breath. Never before had he been able to rise this far, to the gates of his foster father's castle. But the rage that drove Mortarion on sustained him like fire.
"Nikari!"
He bellowed the name of the High Overlord in a crack-throated snarl, the sound echoing across the peaks.
"Answer me, and face your final justice!"
The words left his lips, but the energy it took to utter them was gargantuan. Mortarion's chest was afire, his body seething with sweat as it tried to fight off the punishing toxicity of the haze. His muscles were beset by tremors, making it difficult to remain steady, and his scythe shook in his hands. A true and chilling fear settled upon him, as Mortarion experienced something he had never known before. He heard the wheezing of his own breath, tasted the metallic tang of blood in his mouth, and knew that he was staring into the abyss of his own mortality. With that revelation, there came a callous moment of understanding, as the universe showed him a pitiless truth. The final battle need not be one of swords and fire. It must only be a war of will, the inexorable entropy of all things ranged against the bitter rage of life, forever screaming into the darkness.
"You disappoint me," said a voice.
Mortarion twisted, and Nikari was suddenly there, craning over him, a horrifying spectre of bony shapes sheathed in burial-black robes. Mortarion tried to swing his war scythe into an attack posture, but the trembling in his arms was beyond his control, and he lost all purchase on the weapon. It fell into the churned earth and began to crumble like rotting wormwood.
"You were never going to be worthy," said the Overlord, stalking towards him.
The poison in the air seemed to thicken and gather around the creature as it came closer, reaching out in wispy tendrils to smother Mortarion. He was choking. The air was as heavy as lead, and it tore him up inside. Never before had the Reaper of Men felt as fragile as he did now. He staggered back a step, a rain of rotting fragments falling from his armour as the hoses about his breather mask disintegrated. A deep and endless pit was opening inside him, a terrible well of absolute misery that dragged Mortarion's spirit into its inescapable grasp.
"I have failed my people."
If it had been in him, he might have wept.
"I warned you. Your life is forfeit."
Nikari made no effort to attack. The Overlord simply stood and watched, allowing Mortarion's own hubris to destroy him. He watched as his foundling son lost balance and stumbled to his knees, bringing his death closer with each breath he took.
"Do you understand?"
said a somber voice, following him down to the ground.
"Defiance alone is not enough."
The words echoed in a droning chorus, striking him like physical blows. It was not Nikari who had spoken, but something else. An intelligence reaching out to address him, something vast and decrepit, ancient and undying.
"To defeat death, you must become..."
The words were drowned out by a howl of golden flames that cut through the air over Mortarion, and he saw the mist itself atomized in the wake of a great broad-bladed sword made of glistening metal,
burning brighter than truth.
As a grey, bloodless nothingness crept in from the edges of his vision, he saw the stranger in his shimmering battle-plate rushing across the blackened mud. The killing fog did nothing to slow him, and the newcomer brought his weapon up on a lethal backswing that struck Nikari across the thorax. Lightning flashed from the sword's shining edge, and the High Overlord of Barbaros was ended with a single blow. His severed torso never fell to the ground, instead discorporating into thick feathers of soiled ash that were borne away on the wind. Mortarion slumped and felt his body seize. The newcomer filled his vision, and upon this stranger's face was such compassion that he had never known.
"Be still," said the stranger. You will not perish this day, my son.
Mortarion struggled to speak, but the words he tried to utter were stolen from him, stolen away just as his long dreamed of victory had been. As he lost consciousness and plunged towards despair, the words echoed after him.
I will always hate you.
The warp. Now. Sorrow engulfed him. The cruel circularity of events fell upon Mortarion as he stalked through the corridors of the Terminus Est, the hollowness within his soul as punishing as the foul air of Barbarus had once been in his lungs. Then he had stood on the edge of despair's abyssal reaches and barely pulled back from the bottomless gloom of desolation. Now he was in free fall, lost to it. His brother in battle, Typhon.
No. Call him what he is now. Typhus.
The warrior, who had once been his closest friend and ally, was changed forever. Or perhaps it was more truthful to say that everything false about the first captain had been stripped away and revealed the core of him. The non-dead monster, Typhus, reborn through unity with the powers of the warp, was what his old comrade was always destined to be. Unwilling to listen to more of the creature's words, Mortarion left it behind, clinging desperately to what fragmentary pieces of reason he could still grasp. The shattering reality of his situation was inescapable. Willing or not, aware or not, Mortarion was to blame for bringing his sons to this place and for exposing them to the insidious power that Typhus had been courting for his entire life. Like Ignatius Grolgor before him, becoming the Eater of Life, Callus Typhon would now forever be the undying Typhus, the herald of the Destroyer Plague. Suspended by dark sorcery in the place between the decay of disease and new bloom of life, he was the embodiment of the Death Guard ideal, indestructible and ever-enduring. But what a grave price he had paid to achieve that status. And not just him. Mortarion cast around, seeing the shambling, changed things that his legionaries were becoming. Every Death Guard he saw was caught in the throes of the same loathsome transformation. Their bodies were riots of mutation and metastasizing plague vectors. Vile buboes and rivers of pus ran from dissolving, reforming flesh, as meat and bone became indistinguishable from rusting, corroded metal and crumbling ceramite. Bloated faces grew buds of insectile eyes, pseudopods reformed from fingers and arms, all of it happening in a sewer stink fog of noxious, infectious exhalation. Some of his men lay dazed and disturbed by the changes upon them, fighting their own bodies in battles Mortarion could only glimpse. Others had gone mad with the pain of the transformation, their reason broken and lost. Worst were those who seemed at ease with it, as if, like Typhus, they had been waiting for this moment to come to pass. How long had they been in this unreal domain? Days or weeks? Months or years? The passage of time within the warp was as malleable as everything else about it. If they broke free, where would they find themselves? When would they be? The Death Guard might return to reality in some lost era of the distant past, revert into a future age, millennia hence, or find that only a heartbeat had elapsed.
If we can return at all.
No matter how much he might have wished otherwise, the Primarch was on the same path as his sons. All too keenly, Mortarion felt the raging conflict within his blood, sensing the chimeric infection as it surged back and forth against the defences of his resolve. If his body was a fortress, then it was under siege by an enemy of unparalleled power. The poison would overwhelm him in an instant if he were to allow it, and there was a seductive nihilism to that possibility. All it would take would be for Mortarion to will it, and the line would be crossed. He was beyond the point of no return. Only one choice remained. He could embrace the despair, or fight on towards...
What?
an eternity of weakness and suffering? Typhus's words pressed down on him. He could only see a battle without end, a war with only victims, not victors.
I have failed, my sons!
He gave voice to the thought without realizing it, and the Reaper's utterance echoed back at him from the flaking plasteel walls of the warship's landing bay. Guided only by his instinct, Mortarion had returned to where Greenheart had docked. His shuttle, once battle-ready and primed for war, now resembled a wreck exhumed from some quaggy marshland morass. It, like everything in the grasp of this septic reach of the Immaterium, was beset by decay. Out past the rusting dock cradle, where Greenheart's creaking space frame lay suspended, were main doors sealing off the bay from space. The heavy barriers had sagged under their own weight and cracked open, allowing some fraction of the mind-twisting aurorae beyond to cast feverish light into the chamber. In any other circumstance, Mortarion would have expected the bay to suffer explosive decompression, but then this was the warp. And he was learning that nothing in this place mirrored the laws of the universe he had been born into. The wild glow of the Empyrean beckoned him. Out there was the source of his torment, he reasoned. Out there was where the forces corrupting his legion had gathered. Out there was the end point. Mortarion pulled back the hood over his pallid face and cast it away, staring that madness in the eye, gathering his strength to step through and confront the truth. His boots rang with strange echoes as he advanced. The hull of the Terminus Est ranged away from him on all sides, the metal shifting and altering, growing like weeds. The other craft in the fleet hung about him as tarnished ornaments, tethered to a screaming sky of raw inchoate force. Writhing colours made of delusion and impossible horizons folded way into infinity. But there was one unchanging constant. Mortarion saw the sketch of what might be a god's face, upon it the form of three glaring eyes in a forbidding triad. He was gripped by the truth that it had been waiting an eternity for this moment to come. Unbidden, the Reaper of Men's black and total despair took physical form around him, in a cloak as dark and hollow as the void between stars. The war in his blood seethed, burning him from within. And here, Mortarion's hate and misery, every last iota of his rage and his melancholy, took shape in the single demand he bellowed into the warp. It was a cry of pure frustration, a spear hurled towards cruel fate and everyone who had ever condescended to name themselves as his father.
What do you want from me?
When the answer came, the buzzing timbre and the distant papery touch of the voice on his flesh was familiar to him.
Defiance alone is not enough.
Mortarion's heart seized in his chest. He recalled the first time he believed death was upon him, up on the blighted crags of Barbarus, and the moment his deepest despair had first showed itself. He failed that day, betrayed his promise to his kindred and his world. He had fallen, while another stepped in to take the glory that had rightly been his, and the shame of it had never dimmed. Then the unfinished words were left incomplete, but now they were spoken in full, and the truth the Reaper of Men did not wish to face was made undeniable.
To defeat death, you must become it. To endure beyond all, you must submit. If you wish to be granted deliverance from your agony, you must surrender your soul. I remember. Do I? Is anything in this place real?
The two parts of Mortarion's spirit warred. Decay against defiance. Submission versus rebellion. The future battling the past. The vast and terrible shape hove closer, taking on definition. The form of it was Protean, a huge colony creature of writhing viral clades given dimension and singularity. It reached out for him, a colossal leprous claw with three talons spreading wide to envelop Mortarion's sight. Upon the degenerated skin of it was the triad sigil, repeated over and over in fractal profusion, the same as the cluster of boils that manifested the Primarch's exposure to the Chimera virus.
My champion, I will give you all you wish, sounded the voice. A dominion of your own that can be shaped to your will. You will be what you always wanted to be. All you need do is take the mark. Take it and swear loyalty.